and he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet." And Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, well, but not all of you." Jesus knew who would betray him. That's what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Pope Francis has made a lot of waves since becoming Pope in 2013. And one of the things that he's done to create a lot of waves is washing feet. He has washed many feet since becoming Pope, male and female inmates at the local prison and prisons around the world. He has washed the feet of victims of sexual abuse at the hands of the church. He has washed the feet of migrants and refugees, Muslims and Hindus, those who suffer from addiction, and those who have AIDS. On and on and on, he has washed these people's feet. And while much of the secular world looks on in amazement, the church world has some problems with this. I mean, he is an older man, after all. Is this even healthy for him? He's kissing the feet. He's not just washing them. He's kissing them. I know, it's kind of gross. A lot of people have issue with a holy man washing a woman's feet. You should keep that separate. Some people say he's sending the wrong message to these prisoners. It's as if he's letting them know it's okay what they've done, and they need to suffer the consequences of their actions. And don't get them started on washing the feet of Muslims and Hindus. They don't even believe in his God. People have problems with this. It causes a lot of waves, doesn't it? Again, it seems as if we don't not know what God wants us to do. It's that we don't like it. We don't like what we've been asked to do. John, when he wrote his gospel, and particularly recorded the scene that I already read for you today, I think he knew we wouldn't like it. I think he knew we wouldn't like the teaching, and he wrote his gospel in order to keep us from kind of, writing it off. The story today, in verse 1, it begins by clarifying for us exactly what Jesus knew before he partook in washing the feet. He knew the time was coming. It was getting towards the end. He knew Judas had already acted to betray him and had become corrupted by the enemy. He knew God had given him authority and that his end was going to be with the Father. He knew all of this, and he chooses to wash their feet. He could have gotten away with not doing it, right? After all, it was going to confuse these people who weren't going to get it. He could have waited a couple hours and the opportunity would have passed. He could have chosen a time when the people who were going to betray him and deny him weren't present, so we only had to wash the feet of the people who were going to be nice in the end. He could have just said, hey, it's a good idea for you someday to do this, instead of actually living it and practicing it before them. But that's not Jesus. He still chooses to wash their feet. The scriptures say, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. You see, the love of Jesus continues until the mission is concluded. He knows that these people need to be prepared for the days that are coming. He knows that they will suffer and they will grieve. He knows that they will be filled with confusion and they will wrestle with what is about to take place. And in the last moment he has, when the crowds are gone and the room is silent, he chooses to wash their feet. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, down on his knees. We cannot underplay the scandal of this moment. It is an insane counterbalance to the triumphant entry we just saw that morning, when everybody's shouting, you're the king, you're the king. And later that day, he's on his knees before the men who will not stand next to him in his hardest moment. From a king to a slave, all in one day. No wonder the people there were so confused, so baffled, had such a hard time understanding what was happening. Peter didn't want it to happen at all. Peter couldn't accept it. Peter, our brazen friend Peter, who sometimes can't keep his mouth shut, Peter says, no, 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 I don't like this. No, 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 no. We just walked next to you as everybody was proclaiming you king, and now you're going to do the slave's job of washing my feet? No, 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 not mine. Jesus has to convince him. And what about Judas? Can you imagine what Judas was thinking? As the man that he had already acted to betray kneels in front of his feet, he looks in his eyes with love. Is there any regret in Judas, do you think? Any twinge of shame? Any amount of guilt at all for his king who he had just betrayed for some coin? Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Sinners as they were, failures as they would become. Because these disciples weren't just a means to an end. He didn't hire them to accomplish the task. They were the goal. They were the achievement. Jesus sought to love them and serve them while he was with them. This is not just a nice thing for Jesus to do. It's the very soul of God displayed for us. It's the very example. Jesus says, watch me. Watch me carefully as I choose this moment for you. And then go do it yourselves. Some translations use the word pattern instead of example. I've given you an example. Jesus says, I've given you a pattern to follow. And I think about sewing. My mom would go to the Joanne Fabrics or whatever when we were kids and get Halloween costume patterns. So she knew how to cut out the fabric and how to sew it together. Jesus is giving us a pattern to follow, a life to live. And frankly, If we're being honest, we don't like it. We don't run to the store and grab the pattern and then lay it down over our lives. Because we live in a world that doesn't like that pattern. We live in a world of greatness, where greatness means power, strength, honor, wealth, outsourcing our dirty little tasks that we don't want to have to get involved with. You got to save face in our world of greatness. You got to look powerful and strong. Don't show vulnerability. Don't show weakness. Someone will take advantage of it. But Jesus gives us a pattern that requires us to serve even our enemies, even people who could hurt us. We don't like it. But what if we lived the pattern? What if we trusted the example? What if we find out that the pattern from Jesus is better than the pattern that the world has given us? What if we find that Jesus' pattern leads towards life, love, and transformation? I want to show you a clip just what washing feet can look like in this world.
Man, that feels good. Oh, there's Officer Clemens. Hi, Officer Clemens. Come in.
Rogers, how
are you? Fine, won't you sit down?
Oh, sure. Just for a moment.
It's so warm. I was just putting some water on my feet.
Oh, it sure is.
Would you like to join me?
It looks awfully enjoyable, but I don't have a towel or anything.
Oh, you share mine.
Okay,
sure.
Around the country, they didn't want black people to come and swim in their swimming pools. And Fred said, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Today, trouble under a noon sun. Negroes and white rabbis marched to a segregated hotel with these results. Manager James Brock told them to get off his private property, cleaning chemicals inside the pool in an effort to get the Negroes to leave.
My being on the program was a statement for Fred.
Pool water on a hot day.
It's a very big deal for me to be putting my feet in the water with Fred.
During a time of segregation, the symbolism wasn't lost on Francois.
To say that he didn't know what he was doing, or that he accidentally stumbled into integration or talking about racism or sexism, that's not Mr. Rogers. It was well planned and well thought out, and I think it was very impactful.
There are many ways to say I love you.
That impact was felt by many, but for Francois, it was personal.
I was in the studio one day. That particular day, he was filming the end of the show. And when he got to the part, he said, you make every day a special day.
You know how? By just your being you.
And I swear it was like, he was looking right into my eyes. And when the music stop, I said, Fred, were you talking to me? And he said, yes, I have been talking to you for years, but you heard me today.
When Jesus knelt down to wash those feet, the men that he was loving didn't get it right away. They didn't understand what he was doing. It took them a while to realize the love in his eyes for them. It took them a while to realize that he was giving them something they desperately needed. A new understanding of what greatness really looks like. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. They're going to close us today. Spent a lot of time talking about what God wants. Probably because we're just hoping it's not the thing that's going to be hard for us. But I suspect that if, with faith, we follow the pattern, we live the example he has given us, we'll discover not only do we love the ways of Jesus, but the world desperately needs us to be faithful to him. These disciples needed that example. We need that self-giving, self-sacrificing example. And the world needs our faithfulness. Amen.
Amen. Jesus loves us, and there's no denying that. In the NIV version, the version that's there in our pews, right there in John 13, it says, "Now he showed them the full extent of his love." What better way is there to show somebody you love them than by serving them, or by washing their feet, by giving them a meal, by helping them through your wallet for somebody that's in need, serving people, contributing to people, showing them that we are Christ. There is no greater love. And he showed us that. So please stand and bring this as we bring the service to a close.